Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Division 3 Podcast. I'm Zach Babbo. Today we're looking ahead to Sunday's championship, where RIT will play Stevenson at 4 p.m. in Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, and we are guaranteed to crown a first-time Division I champion as both teams are making their school's first appearance in the game. As always, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm hoping you like some of the kind of newer, different versions of the podcast I've done recently in terms of, you know, reflex podcast, catching up on the action, or jumping in and looking ahead at some of these big matchups coming in, breaking down the tournament field. You can find all of Inside Lacrosse's rich family of podcasts at the iTunes store underneath Inside Lacrosse or on InsideLacrosse.com. Any questions or concerns or thoughts for the show, feel free to email me, zbabo at InsideLacrosse.com, or find me on Twitter at Zach Babbo, capital Z, capital B, no spaces. We're going to start today's podcast in the South with Stevenson. I got a chance to talk to head coach Paul Cantabine, as well as one of the leading scorers, attackman Mark Pennington, and defensive stalwart Kyle Halchek about their upcoming title game. Okay, now we welcome on Stevenson head coach Paul Cantabine. Coach, you know, I guess, what are you kind of thinking or feeling here heading into Stevenson's first national championship appearance, especially with the way you've really grown this program into what it is today?
I think we're really excited to see what it's all about, you know, to get there and feel that atmosphere and be a part of it. I think we're looking forward to that. You know, we got all the, you know, getting all our game plan together here and the practices in and working on our conditioning and everything so we can be ready for the game and everything. But we're definitely going to go up there and enjoy it, you know, be part of the whole thing, see everything and really enjoy it. I think that's what you have to do when you build a program. You get up there and you just see what it's all about. You just got to soak it all in. Yeah, at the same time, you know, we're up there to get a job done. And I think our guys are handling it really well.
You know, I know in years past the Salisbury-Stevenson game is such a slugfest that each team can kind of, you know, show some soreness or play a little down the week after because that game just takes so much out of them. You know, are there certain things you've had to do this week to maybe try and combat that, or maybe is the team not as beat up this year as they have been in years past?
I think that's a little bit different this year. Usually after we play this game, we got to play a game 3 days later, you know, so that's a little tough when you play the Salisbury the game and all those emotions to bounce back three days later. But this time we have a full week. So I think we got a few days to shake it out of us a little bit, and any little nicks and stuff that we have, we're able to heal. We actually came out of the game pretty good, you know, without any injuries for the first time. And I think it worked out pretty well for us the way it went. And, you know, we're as healthy as we've been all year and looking forward to the game. And I don't think we're going to have any mental fatigue or anything like that because of the, you know, we have that full week.
What is this team doing really well right now? I mean, from what I took away from the Salisbury game, you guys just seem really balanced from end to end. You know, Dimitri played a great game in net. The defense holds an offense like that to six goals. On the other end, you guys put up 12 in a pretty balanced overall attack. I mean, you know, does it feel that way that just the team is playing really well, you know, all 10 guys up and down the field?
Well, we've been trying all year to really play, you know, 60 minutes, you know, in our game. Sometimes the defense plays really well. Sometimes the offense plays pretty well. Sometimes we play together for a little while. We've never really put in 60 minutes. And I think now everybody's starting to understand what they need to do in order to win these playoff games. And everybody's contributing. And we're not getting any negative appearances from anybody. So I just think we're playing better all around, and everybody's understanding the situations and what their roles are better. You know, there's nobody trying to win the game by themselves or anything like that. They're all trying to rely on everybody else to do their jobs. And when you kind of get that kind of play from everybody, I think it really has to be a better team. And we're really starting to get that this year developed. We're in past years, you know, we rely on our offense to help us out. Last year we had to rely on our defense to help us out. I think this year everybody's really kicking in. We don't have to rely on one end of the field to help us win a game.
You know, how important is it to have such a solid defensive unit going into an opponent like RIT? I mean, is that one of those games where you know, you almost have to, despite how well you guys can score too, where you're trying to keep it away from being a track meet because of how well that kind of plays to their transition style and everything? Or do you just kind of let it break out the way it goes, I guess?
Well, we just got to see how it goes. You know, I mean, you have a great defensive team, and I think we have some very good defensemen. And it definitely helps because know that, you know, they can do some things that that other teams can. You don't have to necessarily, in order to win the game. But, you know, I think we got solid D guys that all do different things. Kalen's much different than Halichek. Halichek's much different than Parker. You know, our poles are all different. We have a lot of different people that guard different kinds of teams and different kinds of players. So that's what you really want as a defensive unit. They have different types of people to do things. And so I really think that that's the way we are. person, how our defense is, and then with our MIDI D unit being so good, I think that really helps too. A guy like Connor Carew, that really helps you do a lot of things. You know, he's so versatile how he can guard, so tenacious how he plays. I really think that helps our unit as well when you have good MIDI Ds. And I think good MIDI D units, good defense units in general, have great MIDI Ds. Because, you know, if you don't have great MIDI Ds, that's all they attack. And I think our MIDI Ds do a great job of that in our poll, especially Chad Williams' appearance now is helping us. So our defensive unit, I think, is just doing such a better job now playing together, understanding roles, understanding who can play what, who can do what, especially. And then with Dimitri being so solid lately, I mean, this gives us another dimension.
You know, how important is it, or useful, I guess, is it that your team has seen RIT before, that this isn't a completely new matchup necessarily, and teams, or maybe is it not important because of how much teams change over the course of a season? And so, you know, the RIT you guys saw in February may be wholly different than the RIT you're going to see on Sunday.
Well, I think that definitely RIT is definitely going to be much better than we saw them. But I think the good part about playing them is that you understand some of the things they do, and it won't be totally new for us. When you play them, you know, it's so their offense, how they attack, and their defense is how they play are so different than everybody else. It's really tough. Takes you a while to, you know, stop it. And I think this year we've at least seen them, so we have a better idea about what they're about. But you still have to execute when you get on the field. And, you know, we know we're going to have our hands full with them and how they attack and how they shoot the ball. And we're going to have to be really better than we were the first time against them. But it does help being able to see them, knowing how they attack and knowing how they go about things a little bit going into the game. You know, so if you're going into it blind, it's really, really tough to play the first time out.
You know, a lot is obviously made of the hidden ball trick that they use to get by Cortland. Is that one of those things, you know, do you have to kind of, how do you approach those kind of weird little trick almost plays in
terms of gameplay? Well, I've seen a lot of those in my career, you know, playing in the pros and the Division I level a lot and stuff, but you got to be smart defensively. Like when they go by each other, you really got to do a good job of calling out who has the ball so the goalie doesn't get tricked or anything like that. So we'll definitely be very aware of it. And, you know, teams try it all the time, but, you know, it's all about your defensive communication and making sure you're doing a good job helping out the goalie a little bit. And I didn't think, watching that tape against Cortland, I didn't think Cortland did a great job pointing out who had the ball. You know, both guys kind of acted like they were playing the ball, and I think that was sort of confused the goalie a little bit because there wasn't great communication there. We know that. We've already been practicing for it, understanding, you know, calling out who has the ball on the flips and stuff like that, and if not, playing those guys a little closer, just not letting them sub and run by each other. You know, you got to be cognizant of it, so you really don't want to give up an easy one like that. But, you know, that's what they do. You know, RIT is a tricky team. They got a lot of tricky guys. They try some things. I give them a lot of credit for trying it. You know, I think that's a great thing they did. You know, and it worked out for them, but, you know, you got to be aware of it.
You know, a lot is made, obviously, of RIT's offense and the Canadian players and all, but they have a pretty solid defensive unit as well. What do you guys need to do to try and find success against that defensive unit?
Well, I think RIT, you know, attacking them, you got to attack them, and that's what we're going to do. We're definitely try to attack them. They do a great job of helping each other and showing a lot, and, you know, we're going to have, just like against Salisbury a little bit, we're going to have great spacing and great off-ball movement, and we're going to have to be unselfish, but at the same time, we're really going to have to attack them and try to make them slide and have to make plays and to help each other. If they're able to stay tight and not have to help each other, then they're a really good defense with a really good goalie, and then, you know, we're going to have to shoot the ball extremely well. Fortunately for us is that we've seen in the last three games three excellent goalies, and I think our guys are doing a much better job at respecting goalies, understanding what shots to take, ball to shots, and I think that's why we're shooting the ball so well lately.
So, Coach, can you kind of take me through, I guess, how this week plays out for you? I mean, obviously not hour by hour or something, but, you know, obviously you guys have to get in your practice times, your film sessions. You know, you'll make the trip up to Philly and get in your practices at the venue before the game, and then obviously Sunday, you know, the championship game itself.
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of work to get all that thing done, but, you know, we're kind of continuing the same way we've gone all year. You know, we got our films at 2 and our practice at 3 every day, and then we're going to do that, and, you know, we got to get our meals. We're having a barbecue on Wednesday for the guys, and then on Thursday we're heading up after practice or going to one of our parents' house outside of Philadelphia for a great little team party up there, and then we're heading into Philly on a Thursday night to our hotel, and then, you know, we have practice at the University of Pennsylvania on Friday, and then we have to, you know, we had the Final Four banquet we have to go to, and then on Saturday morning we had practice in the stadium at 9:10. We got to do that, and then we got to get all our All-Americans over to the All-American banquet by 10:15 for that. So, you know, and then we have a great we have to do an autograph session at the fan thing, and then we're going to watch the first half of the Final Four game at 2:30, and then we have a team dinner at Mangino's down in Philadelphia before the that night to kind of celebrate a great season for the guys, and then, you know, we'll get up and have a team breakfast at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Day,
and, you know, our president's going to stop in and talk to the guys that day and give them a good cheer, and then, you know, we're going to leave for the game about 2 o'clock and get at the stadium about 2:30 and in time for game at 4 o'clock.
Coach, you know, in all those kind of activities going on this weekend, I mean, are there certain things you have to do to try and make sure everybody doesn't get distracted or anything, or how important maybe even is that Saturday practice and kind of getting out the jitters that a lot of people talk about in terms of, you know, that awestruck feeling that sometimes players get when they wander into the Final Four for the first time?
Yeah, I think that Saturday practice will be important to see how focused we are. You know, we've done a good job being pretty loose on our pre-game practices, letting the guys get used to everything. So, you know, we'll continue to do that and get all those jitters out, getting in that stadium. But at the same time, we want to enjoy it. You know, we want to get in there and enjoy this experience. And I think we've done a good job all year. You know, we played in a lot of big venues, and, you know, and in the past when we do things, we played in front of a lot of people. So hopefully, you know, us playing in front of a lot of people is not going to affect us as much. And I think the guys are doing a really good job of just controlling what they can control. And I senior leadership's been great this year. The guys just understanding that, and I don't think our guys, the moment is too big for our guys. I think our guys really handle pressure well, these big games well. I don't think that they are affected by it at all, you know, and I think that shows, like, in their season all year, we've been so great in the first quarter all year that we don't come out really nervous at all. We just play really loose and get out and play well.
And Coach, with how supportive the Stevenson community has been to the growing of this lacrosse program, you know, I mean, do you have a sense of kind of what it would mean for the university to be able to come back down to Owing Mills with, you know, with the title?
Well, I think it means a lot. You know, the school, you know, is so new and it's growing so much, and the athletic department's so new and been growing so much, to get a national title for a school like this is really unbelievable, you know, for them. And I think they're really doing a lot of things to support us and doing a lot of things to support the people that want to go to the games and everything like that. So I think it's really a great thing that what's going on, and I think it would mean the world to Stevenson and the community to be able to say that they have a national champion. So, you know, we're going to do our best to get that done, and hopefully it all works out. But, you know, I think either way, I think the school and everybody here, the faculty and the staff, are proud of what the guys have done and how they represent the university.
All right, well, Coach, you know, best of luck as you guys continue to prepare here, and you know, safe travels to Philly, and I'll be looking forward to seeing that game on Sunday.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. Okay, Inside Lacrosse D3 Podcast now brings in Stevenson attackman Mark Pennington. Mark, you know, you were a transfer into the program, and you've really had a great year this year, particularly 57 goals, 7 assists. I mean, what has been the kind of transition process for you to come into this team and become such a key part of it so quickly?
Well, I definitely think that the style of offense here at Stevenson fits my style of play a lot better. And it was definitely easier for me to just to come and make an effect on this offense right away. And we have so many guys that can make plays in this offense. I mean, it makes it pretty easy. So I think it's just a better fit for me that way.
This team shoots a lot. I joked last time I talked to you after the Lynchburg game about the 1,200
right,
shot
right.
thing, and you lead the team in shots at 184. You know, I guess, is it one of those things where you pretty much have the green light whenever you feel you have a look? And I mean, does that belie a certain confidence that pretty much, you know, you feel that if it's there, you're going to pull the trigger, you got confidence in making a good opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one thing about being a good shooter is you definitely have to be confident in your shot. But we do have I wouldn't say too tight of a leash here with shots, the amount of shots that we have taken this season. But we definitely don't want to take any bad shots, and it's something that I try not to do. But definitely on Sunday we're going to look to can some of those back.
I was going to say, actually, that was one of the things that surprised me most in the Salisbury game, is that you guys were considerably underneath your season average in shots. Typically, you guys put up almost 50 shots a game. I think against Salisbury, you had something in the high 30s. You know, how much of that was maybe by design? I mean, I talked to Coach a little bit after the game, and he kind of made it sound like, you know, there was a decent amount of that was by design, that you didn't want to throw bad looks
right.
at this goalie to get him hot.
That definitely was part of our game plan that we talked in the previous week that we had to prepare for Salisbury, and just out of respect for that goalie with the great years that he had, we just didn't really want to fire early and get him hot and get him in that groove to the point where we had to take great shots towards the end of the game and make it close, but we just wanted to get out there and get a good lead on them and I let that goalie get into a good groove, so we're definitely more careful about our selection of shots in that game.
I mean, do you guys need to maybe take a similar approach against an RIT team? Pat Johnson's been a solid goalie, or is it
definitely,
the other way
definitely.
Where it's just a shootout?
I think they do play a little faster paced like us. They're definitely a transition team, so I think that's also when you see a lot of shots when you play a transition game. But Pat Johnson is a great goalie, so we're gonna have to definitely show him the same respect.
What is the Stevenson offense doing when it's operating well? I mean, what are you guys keying on, or just kind of what flows through that unit there that really helps you operate at your highest level?
Definitely just the spacing and just moving the ball so we get the best shot possible, and not just coming down and trying to make a play right away, because we have so many athletes that can do that. But we've definitely been working on just holding the ball in our spacing and moving so we can get a nice easy dump in or a nice easy look to score the goal.
Can you talk a little about the dynamic on attack amongst, you know, you guys kind of a pretty solid four-man unit, you, Pat Candon, Tyler Reed, and Chris DeShiel, you know, all mix in there, and each one, you know, kind of has a little bit of a different game. Chris
right.
and Pat maybe have a little bit more of balanced numbers. You and Tyler really, you know, can the ball a lot. I mean, how do you guys kind of play with each other, and you know, do you notice certain things in games where it seems like, you know, maybe certain guys have an edge as opposed to others or something?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's part of the reason why our attack line plays so well together, is because Pat and Chris can dodge and draw that double so well. And, they can finish it too, but they do a great job of noticing when the double is coming and noticing who it comes from. And, I mean, most of the time it's coming from me or Tyler, and that's, I think, why the ratios are so off balance there. But, they do a great job of drawing that double, and their dodging game is really, really great, and Tyler's finishing game is great as well. So, I think that's why we really do work great as a unit.
You know, you mentioned the transition that RIT thrives in, and, I mean, do you feel as an offensive player going into this game that there's almost a benchmark of a certain amount of goals as a bare minimum you're going to have to score just to come out successful on Sunday?
Yeah, definitely. I think our offense definitely has to have a great day, out of respect for how good their offense is too. Because I don't think we're going to be able to stop RIT all day, but I think we're going to have to put a solid number up on the board to give our defense a little comfort. And that is definitely something that is in the game plan. Yeah.
What's this experience like? It's been like for you that, you know, you went to Cortland, you were part of their run that I think ended the year. The year Tufts went on to the championship, you guys, you know, fell to Tufts in the semis, I believe. You know, what I guess, I don't know if you can even compare one experience to the other, but, you know, I mean, were there things of that Cortland run maybe that you were kind of dipping into in terms of, you know, the Stevenson postseason run or anything, a familiarity, or has it been, you know, a very different experience kind of going through the North bracket and now going through the South bracket?
Yeah, I think it is different. I've been in, I guess, the playoff run coming from a pretty good high school lacrosse team as well, not just Cortland in that playoff run, but it's a different experience playing in the Southern bracket. We saw three really solid teams in a row in a week and a half, and it was a lot of fun. We played three great games, and I think our team's really starting to mesh to the point where we want it right now, and it's really great timing. But yeah, I mean, it was a different experience as opposed to my freshman year when we lost in the quarterfinals, but it was great.
And when I saw you on Wednesday after the Lynchburg game, you had a pretty fierce little soup saver growing on your lip. Do you guys still rocking the mustaches here?
Yeah, the mustache lived to grow one more week. So we'll see it on Sunday.
I was gonna say, if you guys win on Sunday, has that become a year round thing now?
No, it's getting taken off on Sunday after the game for sure.
All right, well, hopefully it's with a celebratory shave then, I guess. If you
absolutely.
Can, so. Right, thanks a lot for coming on and talking, Mark.
All right, thanks, Zach.
Okay, the Inside Lacrosse Division III podcast now welcomes Stevenson defender Kyle Halicek. Kyle, I mean, congratulations on making the championship. Just kind of, you know, what are you guys feeling or you know, kind of buzzing about here and heading into the championship after a great win against Salisbury?
I think we're still kind of hanging on that one right now. The Philadelphia doesn't feel quite as real yet. Probably won't feel real until I hop on that bus and I started to get up 95, still waiting for that day, but, you know, right now we're just focused on, you know, going through the normal motions, going through film, practice, and obviously hitting the training room afterwards and getting in the ice bath.
I was going to say, I mean, how beat up is everybody after that game? I know, in years past, sometimes that Salisbury-Stevenson game takes a lot out of both teams, regardless of who wins, and you see struggles in the next game. So, how sore or anything, or is it easy to maybe shake that off this time since you have the championship as opposed to just a regular season game next or something?
Yeah, I think getting to the national championship, I mean, your body doesn't hurt as much as, say, your mind would let you think if you were sitting here, in summer already. But I think we're actually a lot better off than we were at this point or a little bit earlier on last year. I think a lot of the guys are fairly healthy. Your typical bumps and bruises, sore joints, but nothing that isn't manageable or tapeable or anything like that.
Kyle, what's been the secret to this defense, or maybe not secret, but just the success of this defense this year? I mean, obviously Stevenson has jumped off the page in a lot of years by some of the gaudy goals and offensive numbers they put up. But really, it seems to me the cornerstone of what's really been the bedrock of your success, I guess, this year has been in the defense. I mean, even in the Salisbury game, you guys scored 12 goals, but you guys held Salisbury to 6. And a lot of people going into the season were kind of saying that, part of what they thought Stevenson would be so successful this year was because of just how good and experienced the defense seemed to be.
I think we needed to just follow, we all needed to be there. It needed to be all four guys, including Dimitri, Cal, Parker, and I. I think once we got all four guys on the same page, playing their top games of the year, and we've really hit a stride, and I think it's starting to show a little bit. Everyone's playing their individual matchups as well as, backing each other up, and Dimitri stepping up in the past 2 games has been an incredible help for the three guys above him.
Well, what's kind of the makeup of that unit back there like? I mean, Dimitri's a freshman, seems kind of a quiet guy. Callum Robinson is from Australia. Parker and you are, American kids and have been playing there for a while. I mean, what is, personalities and styles kind of, how do you guys mesh maybe to make that an effective unit there?
Well, I think, three out of the four guys are MIAA guys. So I think, the level of lacrosse we've been playing our entire lives is, fairly the same. And then, Cal's an incredible athlete, so it's really not that hard at all to get him into the mix. I think once he got the lingo down, there's a few things that, we were teaching each other, getting him to just understand that, there's, the whole game here is faster. But it wasn't too difficult at all. I think we just, once we all started playing our top games of the year, playing as hard as we have, and Dimitri finally stepping up, and I think that whole MIAA mix kind of helps me a lot, because I know the kind of games they play in high school, and I know the talent that they have, and the lacrosse IQ is there. Just once we all got that going, I think it really meshed well for us.
What's that like for you? I mean, you grew up in Reisterstown, you're an MIA guy. I mean, so you're kind of right in almost the shadow of Stevenson for your high school career, and when it's known as Villa Julie, I mean, I guess the success in lacrosse has been more recent. You've been a part of it. I mean, I guess what does it mean to you to kind of know you've been a part of that, building this university and this team into the powerful program that it is now?
It's actually pretty funny. My drive from my parents' house to Stevenson is shorter than my drive it was from my parents' house to Loyola. So, it's pretty interesting to see this whole place grow. The stadium wasn't here. None of these facilities were necessarily up to date, I think. I mean, a lot of the training facilities were, but, seeing this whole place grow, watching it go from, your Villa Julie to your Stevenson, it's been a part of my ride, and it's really exciting just because I'm going to be around here for the next couple of years as well, so I'll get to see it continue to grow. So it's a home for me, essentially.
And I guess, the big challenge for you guys in defending RIT or going into this game is kind of the very hectic, active, unique kind of offense that RIT runs. A lot of Canadian elements like picks and slips, and everybody's talking about the hidden ball trick that got them past Cortland. How do you guys prepare for that? And in some ways, how much of a leg up do you think it is that you guys played them in the very beginning of the year? And while teams change a lot during the season, you at least have some familiarity with what they do.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good at just making you move off ball. I think they want to get your eyes kind of focusing in the wrong places so they can get behind you. And I think playing them earlier in the year was interesting for us because we had no film on them. It was the first time they were playing. So it was really interesting to go into that game with no prior knowledge of, you know, I'm pretty sure I didn't even know the starting lineup until I heard it announced over the speakers. So I think it's not, you know, not easier at all, but it's a little bit more of a relief to now have film on them and be able to see, you know, a little bit of tendencies and stuff. But they're really good at making you move off ball just constantly.
I guess, does that really put a prominence on you guys needing to be very, you know, vocal in your communications, really getting on top of coming on and off players and all that stuff so you don't create those little cracks that wind up really feeding an offense like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they really make you play your best game, I think. We have to give them 110% if we want to come out of this one on top. I think we've kind of gotten into the right stride and we're in the right position to play this style of offense now. I think we're all four guys down low are gelling. Our middies are starting to play better defense. I think we got back to RIT at a really good time of the year, and I'm sure they're getting back to us at a really good time in their year. I mean, it's nothing better than two first-timers playing in the national championships. I couldn't be more excited for it.
All right, well, Kyle, thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to this game, too. I think it is fun that we know, regardless, we're going to crown a new champion this year, I think. So thanks for talking to me today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now our attention shifts to the north with RIT. The Tigers are on a roll and have been for a couple of weeks, and they continue that by upsetting number one seed Cortland in Cortland 10-9 in overtime in a rematch of a game from the regular season that was a 12-11 double overtime win for the Dragons. RIT pulled the upset with a little bit of style, too, using a fake flip play to score the game winner in overtime. I got to talk to Alistair Warren and Taylor Wiseman, the two guys who executed that fake flip in overtime, as well as RIT coach Jake Kuhn about the upcoming championship. Okay, the Inside Lacrosse D3 podcast welcomes in RIT's Alistair Warren. Alistair, you were one part of the very famous now flip play that from the end of the Cortland game here. Can you kind of take me through what you saw out of that play at the end of the game?
You know, we got a play called out of our timeout there to run a pick on the inside, and it didn't really end up working out. And me and Taylor kind of got flip-flopped on our sides. And I saw him coming towards me, and he kind of gestured towards me. You can sort of see it in the video, and he tossed it up. I grabbed it and saw that the goalie wasn't looking, just put it in there. It's kind of a little bit of a lucky play, but it was obviously a great play for us in the end.
I was gonna say, were you at all nervous about it shooting? I mean, a play like that, you know, sometimes it can be foiled by something as simple as the ball taking a weird hop and hitting the goalie in the leg or something like that, as opposed to, you know, him even really actively making a save or something.
Yeah, I mean, when I shot it, it was a little closer to his legs than I'd hoped it to be, I guess. But I mean, obviously, on the way in there, you're just kind of hoping that it doesn't bounce off the pipe or off the goalie, and you know, it kind of looks stupid after that. But it ended up getting in there.
How, you know, when a play like that comes up in the huddle, I mean, how confident are you guys in terms of being able to go out and sell it and, you know, and have it work to success for you?
Well, Taylor's really, we've done a couple flips this year throughout the season, and Taylor's really good at sort of pretending he has the ball. I'm not as, we've tried doing it the other way before, and I'm not as good as sort of selling that I have the ball. It wasn't obviously our primary play. It was just sort of, as we were headed out after our timeout, one of our coaches, Coach Dutton, he sort of said, you know, if the play doesn't work, just try a flip and see what happens. I mean, if it didn't work, we probably would have moved on and tried to run another play. But that was the way it ended up working out, was that the play, the flip, Taylor ran with the ball and kind of distracted the goalie there for a second, and we were able to score off it.
You know, obviously, kind of besides the slight accent, I can tell from the roster, you know, you're from Canada. You know, how, I guess, are plays like that something you're fairly familiar with sometimes the craftier stuff that comes out of, you know, a lot of the box play and stuff up there?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's super related to my Canadian play. I mean, Taylor's from Washington, so he hasn't really played too much box lacrosse in his life, and he sort of picked it up fine. I think, I mean, it happens, I'd say, probably a little more often in lacrosse, sort of a little trick play like that, but it's, I don't know, I think it was just sort of, it's something we've picked up over the year, and it's worked a couple times for us. So, I mean, as long as it works, we'll probably keep trying it.
Well, I guess while that play maybe not then necessarily is, you know, overly Canadian or whatnot, you know, your offense at RIT has been described as having a lot of kind of box-like elements to it in how much you guys like to utilize, you know, two-man games, picks and slips, you know, a lot of the off-ball stuff. You know, how would you describe kind of what you guys run out there?
Well, we move our feet a lot. Our Coach Wilkins has sort of implemented a new offense this year. Last year, we were a little more rigid in our sets, and this year he's really given us a lot of power to sort of do what we want. He really makes sure that as long as we're all moving our feet, that and moving the ball quickly, that it's hard for the other team to sort of set up a good slide man and have someone to slide once someone breaks free from a two-man game. So he's really just focused on making sure that everyone's spread out. We're moving the ball quickly, moving our feet a lot, and it really makes it tough for defenses to sort of be prepared when someone gets beat one-on-one.
Is a lot of what you guys do kind of that freelance kind of thing almost, where you know you have a lot of ideas of how to move and principles of what you want the offense to be, but largely it's not as much structured plays as much as you guys kind of seeing what happens and playing off each other? Or is it more of that, you know, structured kind of this is the play, this is the play, this is the play kind of stuff?
Well, we go out there with sort of a set, you know, and coach will sort of let us freelance in those first 30 seconds there to sort of see what happens. And I mean, if he recognizes something, he's got Coach Wilkins. I mean, he's probably the best offensive coach I've ever had. He's got a million plays. You know, it's hard to remember all of them. But if things aren't really working out from the first 30 seconds or so, he's really good at sort of picking a good matchup, seeing who has, a short stick or who has a good matchup on the field and calling out a play that's going to give them a good opportunity to get to the net and score a goal. So, I mean, it's a bit of a two-way thing. He gives us a lot of, opportunity to sort of do our own thing out there, but at the same time, he's really good at, finding an opening for someone to, make the right play or call a set play for us to score on if the sort of motion isn't working too well.
So, you guys, obviously, you win a very exciting, dramatic game like the game against Cortland. I mean, how long did it take to kind of really sink in maybe that, you guys are going to the national championship now? You're going to be playing. There's only one game left regardless of how it ends, and you're hoping it ends with, you guys running around the field celebrating, the national title.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone's excited here, and Coach Kuhn really, really emphasized that, that we should be happy, like you said, there's only two teams left. He was really adamant about, after winning that game to, spend the day, enjoy yourself, celebrate. But on Monday and Tuesday, we got back after it, and he said, it was good to celebrate that win, and it was a big win, but obviously we have to move on, and the end goal for the season wasn't, just to go to the national championship, it was to win it. So, I mean, it was a great win, and everyone's really excited about it, but, everyone sort of understands that it's time to move on and get ready for the biggest game of the year.
How has this week been like for you guys in terms of, trying to prepare for a team you've had the fortune of playing before, so it's not wholly unfamiliar. And on top of that, I mean, it's kind of, everybody talks about this being that weird time of year where the college kids are nearly professionals because, your classes are done and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You're probably some of the only people left on campus. So you're effectively, just lacrosse players at this now.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun time. You spend a lot of time with the guys. Just sort of strictly lacrosse, and coach has set up a couple of sort of events with us to try and make sure we're having fun all week. He's emphasized that it should be the best time of your life this week here, and it will be. It will be something we'll remember for the rest of our lives. Hopefully, it is something that we remember on a positive note with a win on the weekend, and we're focusing on working hard all week, and while having fun, obviously, and then coming out with the win on Sunday is going to be what's most important to us.
All right, well, Austin, thanks a lot for talking. Best of luck as you guys continue to prepare here and go into what should be a very fun championship game.
Yeah, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Take care. Okay, now we welcome in RIT's Taylor Wiseman. Taylor, you were, I just talked to your teammate Alistair, you were kind of the other part of the famous now flip play from Sunday's win over Cortland. Alistair kind of gave his view of what he saw happening. Can you kind of describe how the play materialized for you guys?
Well, at the beginning of overtime, before we went on, our coaches were gave us a couple plays to run, and then our assistant coach, Coach Dutton, he said, you know, if none of the plays work, you guys always have your hidden ball trick, which we've done all year, haven't mastered it as well as we ended up doing it. But so how it all happened was when we got the ball in offense, we tried one play that Coach Wilkins drew up, and it didn't work as well as we hoped. Then we did his next play, which didn't nothing turned out of that one. So when I had the ball on the right side of the field, I just kind of looked at Alistair, and we kind of know each other so well that he knew what I was going to do. So I ran towards him with the ball, flipped it up, and hit it from the goalie with my body. And so as it came down, he normally gets the ball on those flip plays. So he took it from me in the air, and I just pretended I have it. So as the play kept going, I switched hands, pretended like I was dodging my defender, and kept drifting across the field to the left while Alistair kind of stayed on the right side, and the goalie and some of the defenders happened to follow me. And so Alistair saw that, and he saw the wide-open goal and took the shot and nailed it.
Yeah, Alistair was saying that you guys have tried those plays before and that it doesn't seem to work the other way around. If he flips to you and he's got to go kind of sell the fake, it doesn't seem to work, but you seem to have the, you know, a better handle on kind of selling the other half of that play. I mean, are there some kind of secrets or something, you know, you're kind of conscious of when you're doing that to make it a more viable thing?
That's a hard question. Like, I know I've practiced selling it. Like, we had a play last year which was different, but I still had to sell it. And so what I do is pretty much just keep cradling. Don't change how you normally play. Like, I don't, like, make it an excessive cradle, or I don't act like I don't have the ball. I just act like I normally would when I had the ball and just dodge, make sure I dodge right away so the goalie actually pays attention to me. And, yeah, the more you keep dodging, the more he'll watch you and Alistair like he did. He just kind of slowly jog like he wasn't doing anything, and so he's great at selling having the ball without actually anyone really knowing, and I'm just great at selling not having the ball. So that is kind of how it works every time.
Did you guys figure out at a certain point, you know, that that's kind of a good little thing you guys have to play amongst each other?
Well, actually, in just a random practice in the beginning of the year, like, no one really told us to do it. We just kind of did it. I actually flipped it up. And, like I said, protected it with my body, and Alistair took it. I think he cradled normally, but I dodged really hard right after, and our goalie, actually, for RIT, fell for it really, really hard, and Alistair actually passed the ball, and then the next guy passed it, and the goalie was still watching me. And so he just shot it in practice, and then when we came off the field, Coach was like, wow, that worked extremely well. Maybe we should kind of add that into our repertoire. And so that's what we did, and we've been using it all year.
You know, generally, you guys have really been a pretty impressive offensive unit all year. What does it feel like you guys are doing well, or I guess, what are you kind of, you know, capitalizing on maybe when the offense is playing at its best?
Well, we coaches have been putting it to us all year about moving off ball, and that's key for our style because, yeah, we can all dodge, but if we can move off the ball and get open off ball, it makes it harder for the defense to stick with everyone and still be ready to slide to the guy dodging. So we've kind of put the two together of dodging and being able to dodge with our head up, not yet obviously to look to shoot first, but always knowing that someone should be open. And so with the offense we run, it's kind of a open set, which defenses have had quite a bit of problem trying to keep us from scoring. Like, I think lowest we've got this year is 9 goals, and so our offense is definitely stepping up that way, and everyone's scoring. It's not just one person. Like, I think 5 of our players have over 50 points, and so it's kind of hard to stop an offense like us when we have that many guys who can score.
You know, a lot of the offense is kind of has very Canadian elements to it in terms of a lot of the picks and slips, the off-ball play, the two-man games and all that. You know, how do you guys, or how do you kind of feel you all fit into those schemes? I mean, obviously there's a heavy Canadian presence on this team, but, you know, you're a kid from Washington. I mean, how much is maybe new stuff you kind of learned? And I guess you all, you know, how do you all kind of fit together with the different styles of play in that system?
Well, like you said, yeah, I'm from Washington. We don't run that same style as the Canadians, and two of our other attackmen, they're also American, so they don't run that style. But with our coach, our offensive coach being Canadian and our normal coach being American, we kind of put it all together. And we found that while doing the slip picks and the just a two-man game,
we've
worked the offense. Like us Americans, we've learned how to do that well. And but since we've learned it on like in the outdoor, not the indoor, we have lost more space. And so we can work the two-man game and actually be running really hard like we normally do in dodging. So it's pretty much adding the two elements together, which makes it works amazing for us. Like I can dodge hard, but know that there's another, I can have a pick for me. And if the guy slides to me, I can pass it right back to my teammate. So it, we work both the American style and the Canadian style into one game. And it just, it works extremely well.
What has this postseason run been like for you guys? I mean, it's got to be, you know, pretty fun. You know, even as a two seed, maybe you're expected to do certain things. You know, it always feels good to win, and you get to take a little vengeance against, you know, a team that beat you in overtime during the regular season by knocking off, you know, Cortland in the semis there. I mean, what's just kind of been the feel or the buzz like on the team as you make this postseason run?
Well, it all started actually with our Liberty League playoffs. Like, we had two close games there, and I think, yeah, we've had two over game, one overtime game in the Liberty League, and then one overtime in the national tournament, and we just keep playing our style. I feel like we're peaking at the right time, and like you said, we got vengeance on Cortland after losing them to the regular season. Before that, we beat Tufts, who had beat us the last 2 years to kick us out of the national tournament, and so it's like, we're playing all these great teams, but we're playing great. And so everyone's just ecstatic that we're playing so well and we're all sticking together. And just, it feels like it's hard to be beat right now.
And I guess, you know, what do you kind of look forward to maybe the most as you're heading into this championship experience in Philly?
Definitely the game. That's all we can really think about. We already lost to this team once, first game of the year in overtime, actually. So we know it's going to be a good game. And so, yeah, it's going to be a great experience being in Philly and having all, doing all that fun stuff. But we're definitely, all of us are looking forward to the game because none of us have been in a national championship game like this. And it's actually, I think RIT's first time getting there. So we're all excited just for the game. We can't wait.
All right, well, Taylor, thanks a lot for coming on and talking to me for a little bit today. And, you know, best of luck as you guys keep preparing for another rematch with Stevenson. Maybe you can keep the Vengeance Tour going here, so.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care. Okay, the Inside Lacrosse D3 podcast welcomes back RIT coach Jake Kuhn. Coach Kuhn, congratulations on getting to the D3 championship. I guess, you know, what are your kind of thoughts or feelings here heading into RIT's first appearance in a title game?
Thanks a lot, Zach. Yeah, we're extremely excited to finally get a chance to fulfill our goal, which is to win a title. The guys have worked real hard over the past 4 years that I've been here anyway, and probably previous to that. And we're just excited to, you know, to be continuing to play here and play in front of a great crowd like that. And certainly extremely happy for all the alums and RIT itself, you know, to be able to represent the school.
I guess, you know, the Cortland RIT game obviously was much talked about and kind of the exciting finish and just the way the teams went back and forth. I mean, while I want to mostly look forward here, I mean, can you just tell me a little bit about kind of how that game played out for you guys in terms of you get a lead, Cortland comes back, and then obviously, you know, the trick ball flip at the end, you know, that everybody has been buzzing about.
Mm-hmm. Well, quite honestly, it's kind of your typical Cortland State RIT game, you know, close, back and forth, game of runs, high paced, a lot of intensity. But we were fortunate. We got on the board early. We scored a couple goals early often on the off a couple faceoffs, quick possessions, and we were able to keep just chipping away. I think we ended up with a 5-1 lead with a late goal in the first half off of an invert. To put us up 5-1 at halftime. And then as a true Cortland team usually does, they come out in the second half and they play a great third period and you know, make the game close. It might have even been tied at the end of the third. I can't recall. I do know that it ended up being tied 8-8 at one point. We were able to kind of get a rebound goal, actually a tipped goal, to go up 9-8 by Eddie Kisa. And then they scored on a fast break to tie it up. And the last minute of the game was pretty frustrating. We ended up taking a shot, I believe, and or turning it over, one of the two, and we ended up going offsides. So we ended up man down for the last 20 seconds of regulation, and then the first, you know, 10 to 15 seconds of the overtime. So we fought that off, which was something we've done all year, probably have our man down on the day. And then we got a lucky bounce. They took a shot, went off of one of our guys' helmets, and their player over-pursued the ball out of bounds. And he stepped out before the ball went out, so he was ineligible. And our guy was the second closest, so we got the ball and called a timeout when we cleared it. And we set up one look. It didn't work. And then that was our second option, the fake flip. And it worked perfectly.
I guess, were you almost a little nervous before that of calling the fake flip? I mean, that's a play that's pretty much going to go, you know, one of two distinct ways. Either they buy it and it works well, or they don't, and you're kind of back to the drawing board again.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we were nervous about it. I mean, it's something we've done throughout the year, and those two guys are very good at it. So we weren't nervous. It's not like it was kind of a, you know, end-all, be-all play. I mean, if it worked, great. If it didn't, we would have just moved on and continued to run our offense. But it worked exactly how it's supposed to. You know, we drew the goalie's attention to the wrong guy, and we were able to shoot it into an open net. So, fortunately, this time it worked in our favor.
So, you know, obviously you guys are playing very well right now. I mean, what has maybe been the key to how you've made this great run in the postseason and now are sitting on you know, the precipice of a championship appearance?
You know, it's been a team effort. I mean, you know, one game it might be the defense playing extremely well. One game it's the O. We've had a couple games where actually everybody's clicking pretty well. You know, Tufts, I thought we played a complete game. Where, you know, our face-off guys were clicking, our offense was clicking, our defense was clicking, our goalie was good. So we're hoping we can get another game like that to finish out the year. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's been a very good team effort. I mean, what I can say about the group is they've matured over the year. If you think back to, you know, our first game versus Stevenson, we went to overtime and, you know, we're kind of looking around for somebody to make a play instead of, you know, kind of stepping up and making one yourself. Whereas recently, I feel like our guys are now a little bit more mature and a little more groomed and have been in a lot of different situations throughout the season, close games and whatnot. And I think we're a much more mature team at this point.
How much of a weapon is that? You know, you mentioned the face-off play. How much of a weapon is a guy like Tyler Brooks-Lambert in the success you guys have and kind of giving you possessions and you know, just kind of keeping you guys in a role? You can play make it, take it at points. You can, you know, keep other teams from getting the ball. And I guess how much of an edge or useful will that be on Sunday, considering Stevenson has a, you know, pretty formidable face-off unit in their own right?
Yeah, the first game around, they actually, you know, pretty much dominated us at the face-off X. So that's going to be a huge question mark. You know, who's going to win these draws? Who's going to come up with possessions? We talk about it all the time. I mean, Tyler's been great. So has PJ for us as far as getting us extra possessions and giving our offense opportunities to put the ball in the net. You know, this coming Sunday, you know, they've got two fantastic face-off guys. You know, we're going to have to, you know, fight and scrap for those GBs in between the lines to come up with the possessions we need. You know, we're comfortable with Tyler and PJ for that matter. But, you know, these guys are certainly, you know, playing at the top of their game as well. So I think it's certainly something to keep an eye on. You know, 50% would be okay. We want to be somewhere in the mid-50s to high 50s against these guys.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you mentioned how Stevenson was the first game you guys play. Now they're going to be the last game you guys play to kind of bookend the season against the team. In some ways, you know, how does that influence maybe game planning for this upcoming game? Because you have some familiarity with Stevenson, but in the same sense, you know, teams change so much over the course of the year, both you guys and them, that, you know, maybe there is a limited amount of what you can really take from that first game.
Hey, there's some. I mean, there's some stuff, you know, matchups, face-off matchups, as you said, goalie tendencies, stuff like that. I mean, but we're going to watch, you know, as much of the more recent film as we possibly can get our hands on to kind of dial in what they're doing. And not to mention, we have a week to prepare. So, you know, they could change some stuff up, you know, so we really have to just be prepared for anything, you know, and this time of year, we've seen just about everything. So it's not like we can't adjust during a game and, you know, make the proper moves and maybe change personnel or whatever we need to do to hopefully counter what they're doing. I personally would like to see more recent film, but we will watch our first game as well and take a peek and see kind of what worked and what didn't.
Are there certain things they do that you're really going to be trying to focus on, you know, kind of keying on your game plan? I mean, I saw them against Salisbury, you know, they're playing as a very complete team now from end to end, you know, good defense, good O, the young goalie is kind of mature in there. You know, are there certain things that kind of maybe jump out to you more than others or something that in terms of what you prepare for?
Like you said, I mean, they're a good team top to bottom. There's no question. We knew that at the beginning of the year. You know, they're strong at attack. They're very strong at attack. I mean, you know, if you look at their shot total at attack alone, you're upwards in the mid 400s. I mean, that's an absurd amount of shots. So they're getting a lot of shots off. They handle the ball quite often for them, but their midfielders are, you know, as athletic as anybody. You know, they've got four or five middies that are certainly extremely strong. You know, some of the best guys we've seen. So, you know, to slow them down, like I said, it's gonna take some great possessions. It's gonna take a great offensive, you know, disciplined offensive-minded group from us, and we need to bury shots when we get our opportunities because their D is solid as well. You know, they like to press. We'll have to handle some pressure, and hopefully we can score some goals off that press.
So, Coach, how have you gone about trying to handle this week, or will you go about handling this week in terms of, you know, keeping the team prepared, probably trying to keep as many of your typical rhythms as possible, you know, getting some rest and recovery after the Cortland game, but then also having to deal with travel to Philly and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, fortunately, it's like I said, it's a week. So, you know, we're typically used to, you know, packing it into 2-day preparations and playing the third day. So it's actually, as far as prep time, a little more than what we're used to. It's more so from my end dealing with the administration side of things and getting meals situated and the itinerary and, you know, where are we going to be, when we're going to be there, and also setting up practices for, you know, the next 3 or 4 days while we're down there, you know, finding time to watch the film. You know, we're actually out of classes and finished up with school at this point, so we're trying to feed our guys now. I just got done setting up a meal for tonight for the guys because we still need to feed them while they're here. So, yeah, just a lot of administrative type stuff. And really what we're trying to do with the team is, you know, just kind of give them the best idea of what the weekend is all about and where our mindset needs to be. Like I said yesterday, I believe, this is actually my 5th national championship experience. So trying to convey to them, you know, just what you got to keep your mind on. And it's not the extracurriculars. It's the game. And you want to try to enjoy everything and take it all in. But at the same time, when you step on that field, you got to realize that it's just another game. It's the same ball we've been playing with all year. And hopefully they can get that ahead of time and, you know, not be shell-shocked when we step on the field.
In some ways, do you think that that'll almost be kind of hard to gauge how much that influences the game? Because it's not like, you know, it's not like you guys are going in against a Salisbury or somebody who's been there a ton of times before. Both teams are in their first championship game. So both teams are going to deal with a certain amount of, you know, inexperience, kind of awestruck by the event, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's why I'd rather be the team that's prepared for it or try to be, you know what I mean? It's I'm sure they're doing their part down there to make sure their guys are prepared as well. You know, it's, you can't tell the guys exactly what it's going to be like. I mean, everyone's going to have a different reaction. You know, we'll try to take advantage of that hour that we have out there the day before and kind of get those jitters out then. And but when it's game time, I mean, again, it's just another game. You know, it's the same that we've been doing all year. I think whichever team handles that better and stays poised and, you know, executes, I think they'll have a good chance of winning.
And I guess finally, Coach, I asked Coach Canabin this earlier. You know, do you have a sense at all of, I mean, it's hard to maybe say it or articulate it well, you know, this far out, but you know, do you have a sense of what it would mean to the RIT community, to your program, to your team, you know, of bringing a championship back to Rochester with you?
I mean, it would be huge for all of those people you said and more. I mean, even just the, you know, the local community itself. I've had a ton of emails and support from a lot of my Nazareth friends and fellow teammates, former teammates. But just the Rochester community itself, you know, John Johnson from Fisher and, you know, just high school coaches. You know, and there's always that whole north-south thing too. I mean, everyone wants you to bring the trophy back north. You know, so it's all that plus, you know, certainly for my career and for the RIT program, I think it's a huge step. Even just getting there, I think, is a huge step. Of course, we want to take it to the next level and fulfill our goal to win the championship. But it'll be nice to have some of our administrators and you know, community from RIT see what this weekend's really all about and hopefully take our program to the next level.
All right, well, Coach, you know, best of luck as you guys keep preparing through the week here, and safe travels to Philly, and you know, I'll be looking forward to taking in this game.
Sounds great, Zach. I appreciate the call.